Sucking on a dry piece of jerky, Christy was taking her turn behind the wheel as dawn began to lighten the eastern sky behind the wag. Straight ahead, the bright headlights of the old wag bounced wildly with every irregularity of the ground, and she was forced to slow to a mere crawl to keep from crashing into the occasional hole or rock. She hoped nothing attacked the wag, because at this miserable speed, they couldn't outrun a fat baron. When Ryan was driving the wag, at first it had seemed they were following a pre-dark road buried beneath the salt. But soon it became obvious that this was merely a wash, the vestigial remains of a dried river that snaked through the desolate landscape. Aside from the shallow depression of the river, the land was flat and featureless, without even mountains on the horizon, the largest dune of sandy salt only a few feet in height. It was as if the world had been sandpapered smooth. No, it was sand-blasted smooth, Christy corrected, by the bombs of Skydark. Whatever had once been here had to have been mighty important in the old days for it to receive such a concentrated bombing. Some sort of military base or factory town. Must have been a big one, too. Sitting in the passenger side of the cab, Dean scowled alertly at the endless vista of dried salt with open hostility, JB's scattergun expertly cradled in his hands. The boy carried a harmonica in his shirt pocket, a gift from long ago, and he was slowly getting better at playing the instrument. But for some reason, he felt the music would have been inappropriate right now. Dean found that he was sometimes a little nervous when it was just him and Christy, kind of as if he were a small kid being watched over by a parent, instead of a young man of nearly 13 years standing guard. The weirdly mixed feelings confused the hell out of the boy. Mildred told him it was normal for him to feel that way. He was in transition from childhood to adulthood. Adolescence, it was called. Dean wished it would just pass him by. Buried under a pile of blankets, the rest of the companions were sleeping in the rear of the vehicle, huddled in a group to share body heat and help fight off the nighttime chill. It had to have been dawn when they arrived at the redoubt, but once they escaped from the installation, the warmth quickly faded from the air and the desert turned deeply cold. Christy and Dean had the heater under the dashboard to keep them comfortable, but the rest simply had to cope as best they could. As the sun slowly ascended, it burned away the blanket of polluted clouds and filled the desert with the rosy gleam of pre-dawn, turning everything delicate shades of pink. Soon the biting chill was no longer whistling into the cab from around the mismatched doors, and the woman turned off the heater to save juice. Once, long ago, in an Alaskan redoubt, Christy had studied a map of the old world. This could be the middle of the Australian desert, literally thousands of miles away from anything. Every drop of fuel needed to be saved until the companions had a better idea of where they were headed. Slow miles passed as Christy continued rolling on through the brightening desert. As they jounced through a shallow crack in the riverbed, the land gently rose into a swell, and Christy realized she was no longer in the wash. Maybe the pre-dark river had turned at some point, or went underground. There was no way of telling. But now the wag was rolling across the desert floor, the heavy tires crunching steadily on the crusty salt ground. She debated trying to backtrack and find the wash once more, but decided to stay on course. JB had placed his compass on the dashboard, and the needle was still pointing due west. Dean leaned out the window.
Damn, there's nothing in sight for miles. Maybe we should stop and take a rest. Let JB find out where we are and such.
I was thinking the same thing myself. Also, the engine has been starting to run hot. Might be something wrong.
Dean glanced at the gauge.
Might be low on water.
She eased the speed of the rattling wag to the merest crawl.
Could be, but it's best to make sure.
Slowing to an easy halt, Christy turned off the engine and waited while the machine rattled to a complete stop before setting the parking brake. Warily, the two companions checked the area around them before leaving the cab. Walking across the ground, their combat boots steadily crunched on the crust of dried salt. Dean shifted his grip on the scattergun.
Well, there's one good thing about this stuff. At least nobody can sneak in close without being heard.
Christy kept a hand on her own blaster.
That's for damn sure, unless it was flying. But I don't see anything around for a screamwing or a skeeter to eat.
The boy nodded in agreement, but kept a closer watch on the open sky for any signs of movement. Aside from the departing toxic clouds, the air was a clear azure blue and thoroughly empty. Reaching the rear, Dean stood guard with the shotgun while Christy untied the lacings holding the canvas flap shut and threw one aside, admitting the morning sunlight into the back of the wag. Amid the water barrels, fuel cans, and piles of backpacks, there was a lumpy mound of mixed blankets with a few boots sticking out from underneath.
"Good morning, rise and shine."
Christy shook the nearest boot. The mound of blankets stopped snoring and started to break apart under her urgings.
"Already awake. Been for a while."
Ryan emerged from the shadows in the corner, and he stepped closer into the light. Mildred had been afraid that his head wound might be serious enough to make him slip into a coma if he went to sleep too soon, so the one-eyed man reluctantly decided to back her call and stayed up the whole night. As much as he wanted some sack time, Ryan was bastard sure he didn't want it to last forever. Head wounds chilled in a way no other wound did.
"You look like hell, lover."
He grunted at that and stiffly climbed down from the rear of the wag onto the hard ground. Loose white sand was blowing across the land, and Ryan again tasted salt in the air. This was no desert, but an ocean. Some of the nukes during Skydark missed their coastal targets and hit the sea bottoms, throwing up boiling tidal waves of salt water dozens of miles across the mainland, sometimes hundreds of miles. Over the years, the salt mud dried into a thick crust over the once living soil, forming hard, flat deserts. JB adjusted his wire-rimmed glasses as the creeping dawn began to fill the rear of the wag, warming it noticeably.
"Makes the Washington Holes seem almost like Eden."
Soft thunder pealed in the shifting clouds, sounding like distant artillery as JB slapped his fedora into shape and tucked it on the back of his head. At least they wouldn't have to worry about acid rain for a while. That was something, at least. Jack appeared from under the pile of blankets.
"Broke down?"
The rosy tint of dawn was already fading to become the clear hard light of daytime.
"Nope, but the engine is running a little hot. We thought it best to stop, give it a rest.
And make breakfast."
"Better check hoses first."
Jack holstered the blaster and shuffled forward to jump off the end of the wag. His boots sank inches deep into the salty sand. He hated the desert and longed for a smell of a proper bayou again. Shoving away the blankets, Doc gave a bone-cracking yawn and ran stiff fingers through his silver hair, exiting the vehicle to blink at the reflected dawn.
"What a desolate location. We could be in the middle of the Sahara or the Gobi Desert for all we know."
"Could be the Painted Desert of New Mexico. Sure isn't Colorado or Ohio."
Ryan became alert at that remark. Ohio was neutral territory, but there were a bastard lot of folks who wanted their hides in New Mex. That was the very heart of the Deathlands. JB pulled the mini-sextant from his jacket pocket and looked through it to sweep the sky until locating the sun.
"Well, I'll have us fixed in a few minutes."
"I'll make coffee if somebody starts a fire."
She spent the night spooning with John, but any trace of a romantic interlude had been neutralized by the close presence of the rest of the companions, also huddled under the blankets. Dean gestured around them.
"No wood for a fire. Nothing."
"Damn, you're right. Guess it'll be an MRE of meatloaf for breakfast and cold coffee."
"We've had worse."
Christy opened her backpack to pull out a tin mess kit.
"Better than boiled boot."
Mildred made a face. That had been a hell of a meal. It was the closest they had ever come to starving to death outside of Fox Farm. Ryan drew his blaster.
"Be right back."
Stepping behind the largest dune for a few minutes, the man soon returned, zipping up his fatigues.
"Got our position yet, JB?"
The armorer squinted through the sextant.
"Not just yet. Too many clouds in the way."
As carefully as possible, he centered the unobstructed sun in the lens, balancing the horizon against the half-mirror inside the optical device. This gave him a reading, and writing down the numbers, he did a few calculations and checked the plastic map from his backpack.
"Holy cow. We're back in Texas, about 600 miles away from that gateway at the Grandee."
"Good enough for me."
The Grandee gateway wasn't a redoubt, just a stripped-down Matrans chamber, but it would take them to a redoubt. That is, if it still worked. Christy sighed and loosened her collar.
600 miles is a mighty long way, especially in this heat.
Her bearskin coat was hanging from a bolt in the back of the wag, a little extra cover in case the others needed it during the cold night. Now it seemed like she wouldn't need it during the day, either. Already she could tell it was going to be a scorcher. Good thing they had a lot of water, even if it was slightly radioactive. Just then, a trio of tiny red scorpions scurried out from under a rock, closely followed by a much larger black scorpion. The black arachnid grabbed a red one and started tearing it apart on the spot, stuffing the juicy gobbets into his mouth. The other two made good their escape under another rock, while the third was being eaten alive. A scratching sound seemed to fill the air. The companions pulled their blasters and glanced around. But aside from the scorpions battling each other, there was nothing in sight anywhere.
Could be the wind.
The boy didn't really believe that possibility himself, even as he said it. The wind in the Deathlands often played tricks, making faraway things sound like they were right behind you, sometimes even making sand seem to be splashing pools of water. Back at Nicholas Brody's school, he had heard of people lost in the desert going feeb from the wind and the heat.